his tongue is wise. Sometimes we want to jump in and say things to get a reaction or to come back at somebody. But he who holds his tongue is wise. Think before you say it. Because many words, sin is not absent. And you see what words can do is this. They can hinder you. Words that have been said hinder you. What does it mean to hinder? It means to put restrictions on you. It places a limit around your life because of the words that have been said to you or that you have said to yourself. You see, restrictions, they bring in self-doubt. How many times have you said to yourself, I can't. I'm useless. Oh, I'm rubbish, me. I'm such an idiot. Oh, I'm so clumsy. You know, the other day, my other son and my two grandkids came around, and Joseph, who's five, we were at the table together, and he dropped his piece of pizza, and he says, "Oh, I'm so clumsy, me." And immediately his dad came back in and says, "No, you're not. We all drop things at times." Because you see, if you reinforce something like that, it becomes part of you. And how many times have you gone and done something? You've dropped the mug in the kitchen and it's shattered. And you go, "Oh, I'm such an idiot." You see, the words that we say to ourselves, they play on our own minds. And they amplify, the devil will take hold of them and keep using them against you. So the negative words of "I can't," "I'm useless," "I'm rubbish," "I'm such an idiot," "I'm so clumsy," I've then got to take those words and say, "Hang on a minute, where does God say that about me? Where is there a verse in the Bible where God looks down and says, because of the idiots, I sent my son?" He doesn't. He says, "For God so loved that he gave." Where does God ever rubbish people? He never does. Even when he catches people in sin, he never brings in a word of negativity. Because he's a good God. And he knows what we like. But you see, if we keep saying those sort of things to ourselves, we can end up in a complete mess. Last month I was preaching one evening at a church in York, and a lady came out for prayer. She was a doctor. She shared what she wanted prayer for, and "How was your relationship with your dad?" And she said, she says, "Nothing that I did was ever good enough for me dad." And she says, "When I would come home from school, and if I got a B plus or an A minus, he'd look and he'd go, 'You could have done better there, couldn't you?'" And because that was all she had, even as a practicing doctor in a large hospital, she thought she was rubbish, that she wasn't up to the mark. And everything that she did, she was telling me, she was very honest. She says, "Everything that I do, I always feel as if it's not good enough. Even when the other medical staff around me say, 'Oh, you're such a brilliant doctor.'" She says, "No, I'm not. I'm below par." We prayed with her. And what happened was it broke the power of the negativity. I saw her 2 weeks later when I was back there speaking. And she came up to me. She says, "Paul, it's been brilliant." She says, "I've been able to look at stuff and go, 'Wow, haven't I done well, Father God?'" Why? Because the power of words that sting and hinder us. And you see, if you're never encouraged and you're not an encourager, it brings in self-doubt. You see, as a kid, I was never encouraged. And I could never remember my parents saying, "I love you." You know, something I've made sure that all my kids, even now, still know it, and my grandkids know it. I never got encouraged. I remember coming home from school and saying, "Dad, I've been picked to play for the school football team." "Have you?" That was it. New teacher came to school. I was 13. And he came to school and he introduced a new game called basketball. And I liked the idea because I'd seen the Harlem Globetrotters on telly, you know, so I thought, "Oh, I'll go along and I'll learn this new game." So he taught us how to play basketball, and every lunchtime we played and he would teach us stuff, and sometimes after school we would do this. And then one day he says, "We're going to have a game, we're going to play a basketball match against Bishop Marshall, and I'll be putting up the team by Friday. The game's on Monday evening." Well, we went through the week, and on Monday evening it came, and I'm walking, the bell's gone, 4 o'clock, we have to stay in school, an awful lot longer than what you lot do these days. 4 o'clock, and I'm leaving the school, I'm about to walk out, and Mr. Ashton's there, and he looks at me and he says, "Paul Morley, where are you going?" So I said, "I'm going home, sir." He said, "Have you not looked at the basketball team?" So I said, "No." In my mind, not good enough. Right? You'll never make it. Not been encouraged. He said, "Have a look at the team." So I went across, and I looked on the sheet, and there was the team. And I'm looking down, and there's this foreign name. And I said, "I've never seen this guy. Who's Lowak Yelro?" So he says, "Have another look." So I'm looking. And I says, "Well, my name's not on there." He says, "Have a look at Lowak Yelro." So I looked at it, and he says, "Look at it backwards." It was Paul Morley backwards. Right? I used to tell my kids stories about Lowak Yelrom, this mighty warrior. Oh, it was a great name. But here was the thing. Next to the name was a little C. Captain. But I was going to walk away. Why? Because I never thought it was good enough. Because there was never any encouragement. I'd been hindered. And hey, and here's the thing. When I was in the Royal Navy, when we were overseas, I used to get paid to play basketball by the Queen. Because all I ever did on foreign shores, in the Caribbean, we went to all these islands, all I ever did was play basketball games against the local forces and against the local colleges. Life at Riley. I was so bronzed. It was brilliant. People say, "Is it hard work being at sea?" I say, "Well, when you're at sea, it's great. So, but when you get to port, it's even brilliant because all they do is play basketball." And yet I would have walked away from it because the words had hindered. You see, Proverbs 18 says, "A fool's lips brings him strife, and the fool's mouth is his undoing. His lips are a snare to his soul." And that's why name calling, kids, isn't good. It's not good to call somebody, "You're fat, you're ugly, you're useless, you're a dog," or whatever else. I can think of some of the names we used to call people. Oh, man alive, I shudder at the thing. But we never got taught anything different. Need to check what we're calling people. But even more so, check what you're calling yourself. Because God will not call you those names. See, the other thing about words is that they also they hurt. You see, and something that is said often enough, you can end up believing about yourself. If you kept getting told you're rubbish, you're useless, you're a failure, you're just going to be like so and so, you can end up believing it. And that's the snare of the words that then hurts you and does damage. Because we don't have to be subject to be under the curse of words, especially self-cursing words. You see, we don't realise the power of it, but when we keep saying things like, even if we're in school, because what we tend to do is we look at other people and we think, "Oh, I'm not as good as them, so I'm rubbish." God never says you're rubbish. You know what God would always say about you? "You're brilliant." He'd look at you and say, "You're gorgeous."
You'd see him and say, what a handsome creation I've made there. Hey? What a lovely person. Hey? He'd look at you and say, you know what? Your so-called, I've got plans for you to give you a future and a hope, even though you pick your nose. He said, I don't even mind that because I still love you because I think you're special. Yes. You see, God will never look down and go, what a waste of space. Don't know why I bothered for them. Because God will never do that. Because he's good all the time. I was speaking at a church in Rugby. It was on Father's Day. And I spoke about the Father heart of God. And there was this lady. And she came for prayer. And she said, I've never been able to pray to God the Father. I can only pray to Jesus. So I talked to her for a little bit more. And she'd had two failed marriages. And she'd had an abusive father. And in the marriages, they were, her terms, nasty men. And so she projected this image onto God the Father. She couldn't get this concept that a Father God would treat her any different than the three men that had been involved in her life. And we prayed with her. And I tell you, when after we prayed and she renounced this thing on her life because men had rubbished her, it was like somebody had switched on lights at the back of her eyes. And I said, how do you feel? And she was glowing. And I'm just like, wow, I can see the Holy, like we were saying before, I can see the Holy Spirit at work here. And she said, oh, I feel such a peace knowing the love of God. It's the power of words. The words that can hurt and curse. Deuteronomy 1 and 26 and 27, words that were spoken by 10 spies caused the nation to lose heart. And it says, hearts melted and the nation wandered. Watch out what you say. Hey, but not only what you say, but in the day that we live, watch out what your emails are like, what your text messages are like, what your Facebook comments are like. You see, it's all words that have a power to hinder or hurt people. We need to watch out for them, because the big question is, does what I say or write or post, does it build up or does it tear down? And we need to make sure that our words build up. Because God's words, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words. They do us good on the inside. But here's the other thing that I found with the bee. And that is contained in the Hebrew word. It's not just a sting, but what else does a bee do?
Pollinate.
It pollinates. I can't spell that, John, so it's not on the board, as you can see. Pardon? It's honey. Do you like honey? I like it on my cereals. Honey. It's good stuff. The Bible speaks a lot about honey, especially in the book of Proverbs. It says about honey, yeah, it revives strength. It brightens your eyes. It's sweet. And here's the other thing that I learned last week on a TV program, that they've gone and discovered that honey is a natural antibiotic. And I remember my granny telling me that if you've got a sore throat, rather than going to the doctors with a sore throat, mix it with a bit of freshly squeezed lemon and take it down. And it's a great antibiotic. It's good for you. Revives the innermost parts. And you see, the honey is a good thing because the honey is a help. It's a help. Proverbs 16 says, pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones.
I mean, how do you feel when somebody comes alongside you and says, you're doing really good, oh, that was great, that was a great cake you made. Oh, what a meal. You know, you feel, don't you? You sort of grow on the inside. Now, as you can probably tell from looking at me, I go to the gym quite regularly. Well, I say regularly, twice a week at least. And every now and then, like last Thursday, I was at the gym, and I have a session with a personal trainer. And he really pushes the boundaries. I learned stuff this week called the plank. You ever done the plank, James? You have. Does anybody know what the plank is? What is it? Demo it, come on, demo it. That's it. And he's on his toes, and he's on his forearms, and his hands are together. And he's gone 5 seconds now. 10 seconds. Hey, I tell you what, he's doing really good. Yeah. I did it for the first time on Thursday. And I did 5 20-second ones, because after the yeah, he's got it now, because after a bit, because it works the whole of your core, right? Your body goes into this shake with it, because it's trying. Get up before you show me up. Right? Give him a clap. Right? Brilliant young man. Give him 5. Excellent. Well done, you. And you see, my personal trainer, he's like that. He's saying, come on, Paul, you can do it. And he pushes you beyond the limitations you hit, where you've been hindered. He takes you beyond where you are, because his words spur you on. He never says, oh, we're not bothering with them weights anymore because you're rubbish. Spurs you on. Well, if he did that, I wouldn't hire him next time, would I? But you see, words help. And the choice that God gives us is to know that we can do it. You see, I don't know about you, but I like being around positive people. People who aren't negative, the moaning. The moany groaners all the time. They're never happy with it. Oh, this hot weather. I can't stand it. Oh, it's too hot for me. It's raining. It's too cold. It's gone like autumn again. God's up there saying, can't please you lot, can I? But some people are always moaning. I don't like being around them. I like being around positive people where the glass is always half full, not half empty. There's a positivity about it, because God's a positive God. Be around encouraging people. Be an encourager of people. You see, the Holy Spirit encourages you, because he says, you can do it. He never comes in with condemnation. Have you noticed that? Even when you do something wrong, he doesn't beat you up. Because Jesus says, when he comes, he'll be just like me. Jesus never beat anybody up. Woman, where are your accusers? Lord, they've all gone. I don't accuse you. Go and sin no more. He doesn't look at her and say, come over here, you tart. Let's have a few words in your ear. Why? Because he's not negative. The Bible says he doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, because he's good and positive all the time. He's a good God. In fact, you know, I discovered this in the book of Ephesians, where it talks about, right at the very beginning of Ephesians, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. I looked up that word, blessing, because sometimes we say, oh, bless you. But the word that Paul uses in the Bible, blessing, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, it means that he says good things about you. Imagine that. That right now, when even though he knows all your past, he still won't have a negative word said against you. He blesses us with good spiritual words that are positive, that he releases about you, because he's good. Proverbs 18 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. It can build people up, it can drag. It's 12:05, John. Right? It's got words. We can have words of life or words of death. I've got my eye on you, mate. I tell you. I know you're so. Water off a duck's back. Especially this weather. The tongue has the power of life and death. And we've got to remember that about ourselves. That's why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. You can pass your exams. You can get good grades. You can get the job that you want to have when you leave school. You can become the person that you've dreamed of. And it's never too late to become that. Even when you're old, like John. You can always become the person that God wants you to be. But you see, God also releases his words. Because his words healing words. He sent forth his word, the psalmist said, and healed me. Just a word can heal. It's the choice between, that choice that Moses laid out, between life and death. Choose life. What do I want my words to be? I want my words to bring life, not death. I want my words to encourage, not discourage. I want my words to build people up, not tear people down. Look at the words of the Lord Jesus. Even when he was hanging from the cross, never a negative word. Bleeding in agony, pain. And yet he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son. Making sure Mary is going to be taken care of. Positive words all the time. Not a negative one. And you see, God won't have a bad word said about you. Do you know, as you come to the Father, maybe you've been ridiculed. Maybe you've been criticised. Maybe you've been rubbished. Maybe you've been dragged down. Maybe you've believed the negative tape about yourself. Do you know what? When you come before God the Father, you can press the erase button. Because none of it is true. That's why we need to see ourselves again through the eyes of God. Don't let the words that you've heard be the words that sting you. But let them be honey, reviving the body. Let the Lord heal you from negatives that have hindered you, because the words of the Lord are pure words. Father, forgive them. I'm glad that God's forgiven me for the negative words, the foul words that used to come out of my mouth. I'm glad now that my brothers and my friends, because when we were kids it was like cat and dog, and we would think up every name under the sun to call each other. But praise God, he brings healing and restoration, and we're none of the things that we called ourselves. So let today, let the word be words of honey, words of help, and words of healing into each one of our lives. Let's stand together, shall we? And maybe just as you stand in the moment of silence, just think of the words. Maybe you've even been calling yourself this week. Maybe you've been calling yourself useless, rubbishing yourself. And why not right now just say, God, I'm sorry for the things I've called myself that you would never call me. And forgive me for believing the words others have called me that you would never entertain about me. And Father, I pray for each and every one of us that where there have been stinging words that have hindered us and hurt, I pray, Holy Spirit, you're the one who can reach those deep, deep areas. And even this day, begin a work of healing. Bring the honey of heaven, the sweetness of God, so that we would see ourselves as you see us, precious, beloved, and most of all, as you look at us, you would say, you were worth my son dying for. And for that we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, John.
I thank you, Paul, for that wonderful, encouraging word about the one who empowers us so that in him we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Wonderful encouragement. Thank you. Also encouraging, I think there's some tea and coffee going to appear any minute now, so I'm confident because I saw Joe and Sue disappearing a few minutes ago, so they're coming through the hatches very shortly at the back there. So do stay on, do chat and have fellowship together, and have a great week. Bless you.
No.
I'm just going to thank you for the time to go on to the team.